Full conspiracy
fake edition. 100, right?
Fake 100.
Yeah.
Fake 100. Big yeah. Asterisk on it.
As Kev likes to just take that wet blanket and throw it over this whole episode.
We never talked about a real 100.
Get off
real 100 was what? 69.
Well, you have to look at the
31.
Timing.
Yeah. It was Unknown Treasures episode 31.
How many
what did... Was what happened in Unknown Treasures episode 31? And did we celebrate it? Or,
did we record that?
So how many have we had in total? Then it's like 100 and like 30.
This 50. Is 100 of John GMing.
That's true. It's true. That's 100. True.
Wow. We had like 200 Unknown Treasures episodes, right?
Yeah. No. I think you're
there's
a little
50,
low.
Like, there were 53 episodes of Unknown Treasures.
So we've done 153 eps, and then we've also done interview episodes and stuff like that. So
and then
like,
we did plot armors.
Plot
yeah,
armor.
But of game time, this is...
Eps.
Oh my God.
This is 100. This is
Google
it.
Sheets is freezing on me because my computer sucks, so I'm not going to...
All right, let's not get into tech issues. The persistent ghost in the shell that we've seen this whole time, the ghost in the machine. Anyway, congratulations to you all. You all are a fantastic group to play with. I'm going to cheers you all.
To your GMing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah,
cheers
it.
To John's GMing. That's a good one.
Thanks. Yeah. I think I've only GMed... How many times do we play D&D? We play for a while, but this is the longest game that I've ever GMed, so wish I would. It's good. It's good.
I actually want to pick your brain at some point about like how to breathe life into pre-made adventures.
Sure.
Because I feel like that's something that I'm not like... I'll read the adventure and I can get a grasp for the NPCs, but like, how do you make them feel alive? I don't know. I feel like you just... And then it feels lived in, and there's other cargo bays, and there's people to fuck around with.
You had to do that.
He intentionally,
Man, I appreciate it.
Leave some things out, put some things in,
with
the cargo bays and such. But his characters are like amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good.
So yeah, they're really good. I'm gonna have to ask you because I know that I'm gonna be doing it soon enough.
And you will
like,
be doing it.
I need
Will's gonna be doing it here soon. Benny might be doing it. Kev's already done it, so that's why he's.
I mean, all the cool kids are doing it. Why not?
Oh, yeah, why not? Let's do it. Before we thank our fantastic audience, I just wanted to turn to you for a sec. What, Kev?
Where to go back? Episode 31 of Drunkard's Delight. I finally got to load. Was the Battle of Midzone when you had the big match with the goblins on one side and the Akeshis on the other.
Yeah.
That was our actual episode 100.
That was the technical 100.
Yeah.
Cool.
What? 100.
That was a big, three armies. That
yeah.
was
a big momentous episode.
That
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah. That was an episode befitting the occasion for sure.
It was. It was
we just
good.
Didn't know at the time.
Our largest battle. Right. Yeah. What? So along those lines, what's been a favorite moment for you across the past 100/152 episodes of gameplay that we've done?
I was going to say Snake Boy, but that was a different game. That was another
Treasures. No.
The 3FC.
We could do that, too. It's fine.
But I gotta choose the 3FC thing.
Okay.
In my own brain. Let me think.
Also, just want to shout out Benny. I'm drinking this excellent scotch that you gave for the wedding. It's great.
Yeah.
It's real good.
Glenlivet 13-year, but you can only get it at the distillery in Scotland, and it's with... first fill European sherry casks and American bourbon casks. It's tasty. Yeah, there's just no two ways about that. I spent entirely too much money on scotch when I was there. thank you, American Express, for facilitating my habit.
Fun fact, it's not called scotch, or it's just called whiskey.
Yeah, I don't want to step on Kelly's moment.
Kelly, please.
Now returning to our originally scheduled
program. I was so captivated by the whiskey, because I also like Glenlivet very much, actually.
It's like a nice amber. It's just good, dude.
I didn't even think about Threefold for a second there. But that is beautiful. Mm.
What sort of barrels are they aged in, young Vinny? Tell me.
So,
what about your favorite episode?
I could talk entirely too long about this.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say European oak, which has a much sweeter, more mellow flavor, and American white oak, which is, those sharper tannin flavors that you get in, more bourbons. Those are the two oaks that this scotch is aged in.
Oh, nice.
I could talk a long time about why you use each one and how long you spend in each barrel and the different sizes of the barrels and the economy they're in, but we're here to talk about us.
Well, it wouldn't be a Will Save episode if we didn't banter about some of the topic that was not intended and
completely get off
entirely too long. It's fine.
On this 10-hour-long episode.
Yes.
I liked Frog. I missed Frog. And I wanted him to stay alive forever. I sort of feel like I still wonder if he was stronger, if he had more health than killed him off so that you didn't have to play him. Yeah, that's what are you sure you didn't do that? Let's be honest.
I definitely didn't do it. I would have been fine to play Frog. Yeah, no. He actually ran out. I mean, he lasted for like four or five rounds. That was a long time against
boss
BBG there who, yeah.
Not to keep stealing with the Frog thing, but I would ask Kevin, Kevin, if we really, really wanted Frog to hang out with us in Unknown Treasures, would that have been, would you have let it happen if we were really pushing it?
I don't know. You guys would have had to deliberately say you wanted to go to the fight, and then it probably would have been a celebrity thing or anything else.
I don't know if. I don't know if he would have been able to fit us into his busy schedule.
Right, 53 episodes. So my favorite times, I don't know if it's a favorite, but it's a memorable one. Besides the ending of book one, which everybody we talk to, all of our listeners, especially Jeremy and Adam, are the end of book one, that really struck me. Playing this game is a lot of fun, but that was where the paranoia hit so hard. Of what is happening here, but another really memorable moment for me as Rick was the Belita dying, because that was the first time in book two that we found somebody who wasn't a part of the conspiracy, and Rick tried to save them and failed, and I think that really hurt. But I'm having a lot of fun playing Cecil, that's same. Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah. I would say I'm gonna have two. One is off camera, one is on camera. My favorite moment off camera was a few days after we did our playtest. When John and I had talked briefly about, hey, I really wanna I really like what you guys are doing. I would like to get involved. But I've also never played Starfinder before. So I guess I'll learn a new game and we'll all play and have a good time. And after that, you guys were like, yeah, that was a good time. We think you're a good fit. So let's do the damn thing. And then I got unofficial Will Save the Production Company letterhead, the invitation to come join the cast. That was a really special moment for me, personally.
Yeah, we were going to, behind the scenes, we were going to send you through a couple episodes. We were we want to test them multiple times. But then we ended up liking you so much that we're like, just do it. That's how much we liked you.
No.
It's a real story. We were going to. I remember that conversation.
Yeah.
I expected I expected more layers to that like process, and then it was just like, oh yeah, we played half of one shot, and we're like, yeah, let's do it.
I think our structure was more. Our structure was we need to have at least two tests per person, and we need to test out. But like, you just fit so well, and you know, a little bit of nepotism in there because you're, you know, good friends with John.
I knew a guy.
I mean, but we treated you the same after that, but that's how you got it.
Oh, right? Sure.
Yeah.
On camera, I would say was the end of Unknown Treasures. Like that really poignant, tender, dramatic moment between Thaddeus and Chack. Through the entire adventure, we'd both lean kind of on that sort of on that Thaddeus side, the more grumpy old man, get off my lawn. And on Chack, where he leaned really far into the humor, where they both like reached deep down and found the drama and the tenderness and like had a heartfelt moment together.
As the sun was setting.
It was just a masterpiece of a moment. It's probably the most emotional I've been on this show.
It's actually probably the most emotional I've been too. It was really weird, how emotional I was, but it was good. And then the anger at Rolu, but it was mostly that moment with you.
That's
a good moment. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah,
I agree.
Will, you want to go or I can go?
I'd say I have a good. Yeah, John, you should go. I have because I want to do my segue.
Oh, dude, love it. Yeah, love it. I don't know what segue this is, but yes, please. I will set you up as much as I can. I have two as well. One is definitely the entirety last episode of Unknown Treasures. So it was just great. Like, that was just such a masterpiece, just of everybody coming together and just truly role-playing in every moment. And I have to say, it's the moment when we're walking back from the ship back into town. And then Goldhorn calls, because it's at that moment that anything we've talked about, anything could have happened. But as soon as that happens, you have to face up and make a decision. Nope. And
Chalk didn't answer.
And right. But then he called Thaddeus, right? Right? He called Thaddeus, right?
I was like, as a GM for Thaddeus that, I was Treme. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Treme. Yeah. Did he call Treme?
Treme. I think he called Treme right after,
yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah. He called Treme, and Will played it beautifully of like playing Treme and also playing Goldhorn and picking up and then like putting the fucking feet to the fire there. Like, of just like, so what's going on? Like, what happened? How's it going? And like, we all had to be like, we have to make a decision. Like, what are we going to say? It was great. That to me was like the inflection point when like all the creativeness started to like propel into this direction. That was great. And then also of Threefold, I would say episode one, because I just love like hearing your backstories. I come back to it a lot. I come back to like what you all wrote. I think about what you wrote. I try and include it. Like, there's like so much going on there. And then by extension, Venny, the episode that you came in, like when you came in, I was like, I know exactly how he's coming in. And then later I was like, how do I explain this? And then I was like, wait a minute. When I came up with the idea for how to explain it, I literally like got out of my seat. I was like,
wait for like how Vinny.
This is it.
I mean, how, I was like, how Colin
just like
got abducted.
Just the whole just thing. Like, I was like, yes, this is it.
So, guy in a bush.
Does Vinny doesn't know, right? So like that's still a secret only John knows.
So Will, what is your moment?
Oh, well, I mean, you guys covered so many good ones.
This is a tough one to go last on.
Yeah, so I...
But he's got a segue.
You're right. For those on audio only, Will is actually on a two-wheeled scooter. Just rolling around.
And he has always. Like a green screen behind
always.
Him.
So I'm always like riding on two wheels, whether it's motorcycles, segways, so my desk chair has two wheels.
Wow. Took three of them off.
Core strength. It's good.
Yeah. Recently, I really liked Starship Combat because I liked piloting, and we finally did it. We finally got through it. We weren't terrible.
You were great.
There was a bit of a breaking in period, obviously, but I feel like it was really fun. We got to work together as a team. But my all-time favorite will always be the next episode of Will Save.
There it is. That was strong. gonna clap for that. That was good. Apparently. Yeah, finger heart. That was good.
But that well, we also, I can't say that. Like, I didn't expect you to say Starship, but for you to like Starship Combat.
Did anyone else like it?
I love it a lot.
Me too. I actually want to dig more into the Starship manual, like the book that they put in. I mean, we'll see what happens with 2E, but like they put in so many great rules about just different scenarios, being like an inner atmosphere, having squadrons, having starships.
I want to board a ship.
Yeah,
that part would be like really, really
raiding
fun.
As a pirating party. Come on.
I am going to my global prep notes, and I'm just putting in board a ship.
Pirate adventure of just plundering and pirating.
Breach a ship.
Just breach a fucking ship.
Actually,
as part of a squadron. Yeah. Like, well, we've talked about the Expanse before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John,
that'd be great. Sweet.
I wonder if we could tie that into the thing that you and I are talking about, but I don't know. You know what
perhaps,
I mean?
Perhaps. Maybe. Shoot me a DM.
Because that could be good.
Maybe you could find out next time.
On Will Save Podcast.
And if you didn't know, you could continue to ensure that episodes will be next. By supporting us on Ko-fi.
That is a great way to do that. Absolutely.
Go to ko-fi.willsaythepodcast.com. And there you can spell Ko-fi almost any way you can imagine. Because we've
certain
got
ways
covered.
Are verboten, but...
And if it doesn't work, tell us so we can add that too, because who knows.
Yeah. But I do want to say thank you to everybody who's listening now, in the future, whenever, everyone across the world. There are many ways that you can spend your time and your money. And we thank you. Yeah. We thank you for spending it with us for these 100, false 100, true 152 episodes. You all are what make it. You're what make it happen. So cheers to you.
Cheers to our listeners.
Cheers to our listeners.
Cheers to you. And viewers, because we have screens too.
I felt like listener was kind of inclusive of like viewer, supporter, listener, audience member, you know, when they come in. So with that, let's play. Let's get back into this nano adventure. Just squeeze all the nano that we can out of it. You know what I mean? Just get it all nanoed out.
Nano.
It's going to nano all over you.
Just
more Mindy reference.
Dude, it might nano over
nanu,
a lot
nanu.
Of nanu. Nanu.
Nanu. Nanu.
I like it. You all turned investigative last time. Put on your investigator cap, which, by the way, Commander Bolt was like, hey, if you see anything that might be a little like, you know, this general behavior fits a pattern. It always does. It fits a pattern. And so why don't you take some time, look around, collect some clues, right? So you all break into the highly forbidden residential area of this space, as Kev has told us many times. It's not allowed to have a residential home.
Yeah. I mean, if we don't have a residential area, after we collect the clues, where do we sit in our thinking chair and think at?
Yeah.
The lobby.
The lobby. No one thinks
the lobby.
The
lobby usually has comfy chairs.
It's not good for opening up your here's the mail.
It's not.
You know, kind of thing, though. Yeah. Like in the middle of a lobby where everyone can see it. So.
Yeah. So
Kevin just doesn't like. He doesn't like that. All right, good.
Let's keep going. So you all put on your investigator caps. What, Kev?
Yeah, speaking of investigator caps, I've been racking my brain for a whole week now about how I think Leora is in on it. the whole precog thing with the mirror and the room, the book full of precog stuff, or bookshelf full of precog books, the fact that there's only walking to that area, like everything in that one room was so like evidential. I don't know the word for it. Is that the right word? I don't even know if that's a real word. Anyways, it points to like people being familiar, and the fact that the traps were all not triggered. They were set. The traps were like set for us, but like they weren't triggered by any of the invaders, right? You would have seen. You would have said, "Hey, the trap door was triggered."
Yeah, they like set. Yeah, that's a really good point.
And those traps weren't put in by the intruders.
There was a Yosoki agent in there. Remember, they opened the door on Miko. They were in there. Maybe they set traps because they knew you were coming.
But then, like, it was integrated into the system. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like a part of the building.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe they broke in and set the trap.
Right. If you think about the time scale that these people are working on, like, they've seen this vision of the future. They would have infiltrated the building committee for this building in order to install whatever they needed to, and then sent the agents in to just enable the things that were in the building plan.
And Bolt did say, "I can't get a hold of the architects and the engineers and the contractors. I can't get a hold of them.
They're f-ing dead."
And the last thing with Liora is, this is her building. This is her office, her home. But the precog thing, like you're saying, you're making it sound like the IFFs are the precogs. I'm saying Liora is the precog of the IFF.
Also, keep in mind that the IFF is not, you don't have to be a precog to get in. It might be part of, like, just so happens that you are and you're interested. You could be almost anything and understand.
What does IFF stand for again? I forget.
The Integrated Future Front, which, again, basically what happened was the founders were doing some sort of a ritual, and that got, there was some mishap, and they got a vision of this utopian future free of war and disease and everything else. And then they wrote down everything that it looked like. And so when that happens, keep in mind that there's a certain level of granularity that is not achieved. It's not like the book says that at like 3:30 at this time, so-and-so is going to like, you know, go to the bathroom. It's like there's kind of a broader brush sometimes. Sometimes it's very specific. Sometimes it's a broader brush about what might need to happen in order to get there. It's the results.
I sort of agree that with Kevin that I think there's a possibility she's involved, and it would make a very good twist for sure.
Well, this is just my threefold conspiracy hat.
Yeah, she has a lot of
tinfoil.
She has a lot of interest in association with them because of that university that we found out about that she's
the Singularity Conservatory.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, because they do precog stuff, so it's like,
yeah. I feel like I see it. Yeah, you can see it. Yeah. Well, let's kick off the centennial episode. Again, you guys did all this investigation, discovered some things on our computer about talking with the stewards, talking with the Singularity Conservatory, discover that there is a painting that shows you 20 seconds into the future, roughly with this impressionist style that also shows one of the pieces of metal in the sculpture floating, and you deduced that you need to put this piece of metal under the same solar impulse as what was hitting the solar detector on the metal itself, and you could see that happening before it happened. And then also Kara saying, you know what, there's something going on here, I'm going to use this seeker slime. And then right as that seeker slime lights up, it opens. You walk down a staircase, just step after step for several hundred feet, and you get to a open door at the bottom. And you do some sweet checks, which I have to say, awesome. Props to you all for using your equipment and your nano skills. At every door, you've done some sort of like look into what could be in the room, trying to glean as much information. It's paid off. It's great. You do that here. Can't tell too much. Seems like there's something missing from your location. There's a dark spot in the radar. Not sure what that is. Warm air, smell of books. And you all go in. And I believe you were going in the order of Cecil, Kara, Boom, Migo, Archie. All right? You walk in.
We send in Archie first.
D-
Do you send an Archie for you?
No, I mean, I don't see why not. Archie would be a great scout.
What's Archie's stealth?
Archie's stealth? No, don't do your question. Archie's stealth?
It's a small floating object. It could be good. Maybe.
It's under the new office tab. Archie's stealth is +2.
Mm.
So, okay. Not what I meant to have happen at all. There's something going on with Foundry. Don't know what's going on with Foundry. That is...
Looks good on my end.
Yeah, it's not good on my end. Sorry, guys. One second. I don't know what's happening. The map that I want to take you to is having some...
Yeah, we get to use the Dr. OK technical issues slate.
Yeah.
It's not Dr. OK, by the way.
It's not?
No.
Is that Dr. What's his name? Bukakis?
Bukakis.
It's not Bukakis. It's not Dr. Bukakis. It's not Bukakis. Contrary to what you may think, I don't think that's what Will was intending.
It's just a bunch of slices of pizza surrounding him.
Okay. Tough luck. Dust floats serenely amongst the double height books and the stacks of bookshelves along the walls. And there are rows of tall bookshelves revealing a richly appointed, warm, friendly warehouse. Except it's quiet. The setting sunlight drips through high windows on the east, while a set of stairs appears in the back to lead to a small platform, and below that is a heavy bunker door. Let me bring you in to this map.
Ooh. Oh, wow. It looks really nice. This is totally different vibe. Like totally. Yellow glowing bookshelves and stuff. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of care in the preservation of these books.
Wow.
There's a statue in the center. Some pieces of furniture have drapes over them, not used.
Are there like data servers and stuff in here or something?
And there are data servers immediately as you walk up. Remember that you walked into a little landing and then backed up a few steps.
The bookshelves in here obscure any possible things that might be hiding behind them, but it's a very, very nice atmosphere.
Let's clear the room.
Cecil's going to move forward and swing around each of the bookcases.
I'm taking Carl's left.
Carl's going to fan right.
Okay.
Clear.
Miguel goes with Boom.
Okay.
Clear. Oh, there is something in middle. It looks kind of creepy.
There's some
slightly amorphous statue. Uh-oh.
Yeah, there's
looks like a web thing. Yeah.
There is a statue in the middle.
It looks like Greek sort of marble statue, like a person, a human.
Pause it.
I did. Give me a perception check, everybody.
Those traps.
Oh my god, yeah. Here we're
24.
24. 9.
17?
17 from Boom. And what was it, Cecil? 20?
20. Yeah.
20. Okay. Ready. Cecil starts to move up the center. There are two rows of bookshelves. Kara starting, I think, to swing over to the right. Yeah?
Yeah.
You were walking by the back bookshelf. And Boom and Migo start walking up the left bookshelf. Boom. You're looking ahead. And you look off to your right and see the statue in the center of the room. And there's something that catches your eye in your peripheral. You look up, and at the top of this platform, mixed in with the shadows, you make out the barrel of a rifle.
Oh, no.
And you need to roll for initiative.
Oh, my God. It's that platform up in the north.
Top left west corner of the room.
Yeah.
Top left corner of the room. Let me add you guys to the carousel here, and then we'll go around and get the initiatives. Add you guys all in. What did everybody get? Kara.
I rolled a... Oh, fine.
car got a 21.
Woo! 21. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. Cecil, you put yours in?
13.
13. All right. What did Boom get?
8.
8. Okay. What about Migo?
Migo got an 11.
Migo got an 11. Okay. All righty. So far.
Mine's still paused. I can't.
Yeah. It's still paused. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Boom, you notice this. You should be able to see the carousel in the top left corner. No. Top around one. Boom. You notice this. There's no surprise round, so we're just going to move right in because you did notice this. Kara, it's your turn first. You're in the back of the room. I don't know if you can see maybe what's going on here. So I'm not sure what input you would have gotten. I don't think Boom might have said anything yet. I'm not sure. But
there is Bogey with a rifle right up there on top platform. Look out.
So I can't see top there. Top left room.
From so what I can see, yeah, like right. You can maybe make it out, but like it's in between the windows of the bookshelves, right?
So like here?
Yeah, like there's a platform up in this general area. I'm pinging on my map here.
So what are the lighting conditions down here?
They're normal light. Because of the bookshelves and the windows, then it's normal light.
Okay.
So she's going to try and move to orient.
Mm.
I moved one extra than I would have, probably.
Okay.
I think probably sneak up to this spot here, and she'll probably...
Okay, cool. Are you, like, running up low, like, I'm totally ready to cower? Are you moving?
Otherwise, is there, like, can I see her, can I see around this corner without having to go that far?
You just moved into the center, more in front of Cecil. You might be able to see something there. You could give me a perception check. You could probably see better if you were where you were, further up to the right.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think she would have gone probably straight up.
Okay, all right, cool. Yeah. Give me your perception check would have seen it. So I actually think, your previous perception check, you would have been able to see it because I'm going to roll that over into this first round because everything happens so quickly. So you're able to run up, step off to the side, and you can see the shape of like a light purple skin that highlights kind of a fierce red armor of a shoulder that appears both kind of archaic and new a little bit. There are like leather sashes and clips holding it together, modern metal to balance this protection and flexibility. And you're looking and you're like, this is a huge creature. Like, not like it's technically a large creature, but it's big. And you recognize these tusks, these angry tusks. And there's an eye that looks at you, and it's yellow, and you're like, this is a Shabbat. Like, there's like a muscular shoulder holding the rifle steady.
Do I see it on the map?
Let me reveal it on the map. Crouching, dun, dun, dun. Sitting at the apex of this desk up here, there is a concealment as there's like a low 3-foot wall that it's using to lean the sniper rifle on. What do you want to do?
Yeah, I think she's going to take aim with her. She had equipped her Philosopher's Sting two-handed sniper weapon.
Oh, nice. Sniper v. Sniper. You will have a 20% mischance just given the concealment because of the angle that you're at. They're a story above you, you know. They're probably like 8 feet up. And it's just the top half of their body. So there's going to be a 20% concealment given the fact that they're crouching. So you roll to attack.
You know what? I'm going to fire yet. I'm going to take aim as a move action.
Okay. What does that do? What does that do?
If you aim the weapon as a move action.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have to fire it in the same turn. Never mind.
I was going to say, did you already use your move action? But
yeah. Yeah. To move into place.
You can still fire if you want.
Yeah, I'll just fire.
Okay. Okay. Just firing. Give me that fire and then give me a D100 roll. Let me know what you get. Moving up the side quickly. Gun ready.
16 on the die for 21.
For a 21 against Casey?
Yeah,
see.
Yeah. And would I roll for a mischance?
You roll a D100. Don't get a 20 or below. 40. A 40. You're good. It fires, poof, hitting them in the shoulder. Nicely done. What's your damage there with your sweet weapon? You can hear that die rolling.
7.
7 points of damage. Okay. Amazing. 7 points of damage. You run up, crouch down, aim, take a shot, hit in the shoulder. Love it. Love it. I feel like you're very used to this. You're like, there's a threat. There's a sniper. I know what to do. I know how to move. The dice tell the story.
Ah, classic work of Kara. Always proficient.
Efficient. Love it. It is this Shabbat sniper's turn. They had their eye on you, Boom. And you know what they're going to do?
They're going to shoot at Kara because Kara's shot.
They're going to shoot at... I actually think... Let's see. I'm going to let the dice decide on this
Most
one.
Most likely we'll shoot at Kara based on experience.
Literally, know. I think that they are going to turn and shoot at Kara as soon as they are hit. Kara, that is going to be... That's a crit. 31 against EAC.
Yeah. That hits. Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that okay, a crit?
Cool. It's not a crit.
31.
Against EAC.
Yeah.
Okay. You take 14 points of fire Ooh. Damage Holy as this incredible cow. Precise shot hits you in the same spot that you shot at them.
It took how much?
14 points of damage.
Okay, well, I'm going to use my defensive dispersal
to heal it up.
Yeah.
Love it.
So you see this sort of like reaction within Kara's body.
Mm-hmm. And what happens?
You just see like this burning of like nanocyte energy as a surge of energy sort of reconstructs this fire that was burned, I guess, on her body.
Yeah. It's a painful wound.
Yeah.
It's a painful wound. Hell yeah. Love it. And then you're looking, Kara, and you're tracking them. And then as soon as they fire, your eyes close, wince in pain. You look back. Feels like it's tough to see them. You're like, I think... It's kind of like blurry.
Double fire?
What? No. Oh. You got hit once. You open your eyes and look back at their location. It's hard to tell where they were. And you're like, I know they're right there, but I can't quite make them out. Cecil, what are you doing? You are almost direct center of the room and hear this shot and Kara get hit.
So the others have already called out where... This guy's located, so Cecil's gonna run up.
Where to?
I'm seeing how far I can run.
Okay.
He's gonna run up past the statue and along. It looks like there's a bookshelf that's like in the middle.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So he's gonna run up to the edge of that, kind of take a little bit of cover from that. But he's going to, on his way up there, pull a grenade from his belt and pull the pin and. When he gets to the top, fling it. So that is going to be...
Tell me the corner that you're targeting.
So it's, what, a 35-foot throw. Then add whatever's up. I'm going to throw...
You're how far away? Actually, between the two? You're like 30... Okay, so that corner is like 35 feet away. Let's say it's 8 feet up. Let's call
Finally,
it 40.
The Pythagorean theorem comes
we
in
found
handy.
It! It's here! Oh my God! I'll do it, but I think it's roughly like 40, 45 feet. You're pretty much at like two, or you're one range increment beyond, because it's a 20-foot range increment for your grenade, right?
20-foot range
for right? grenades?
Yeah. You talking about the...
To alley-oop the grenade.
Yeah. Bloop. Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yep. Hit that sky hook.
Hit that sky hook. I'm actually listening to SCF right now, and I'm in the middle of book two, and they use alley-oop incorrectly, and then they use it correctly, and it's a very fun time. Anyway, good
well
times.
Then.
Yeah. All right, so you alley-oop it up. I think this is the right term for it.
No, an alley-oop is when you recover it from someone else and then
slam it home. Back. Yes.
before you touch the ground.
Right.
So you're like, yeah.
If Cecil was throwing it up and then like Kara was like hitting it into the bogey, that would be appropriate use of alley.
That just feels like a set spike from volleyball, like you said.
Yeah,
it's spike. Very similar to a set it spike. Is. Yes.
Could you not just be alley-ooping this to the ground?
No, it's lobbing.
Lobbing. Okay. No. All right. Okay. Benny just no. All right. So you do it. What did you roll? Tell me.
I rolled an 18 on a die. I'm trying to look at my.
That's
my
fine.
Throw
AC 7, right? With sure, the okay, range, so with I the range increment. Yeah, yeah. You hit.
Okay, so this one on Hero Lab, it has a DC. I don't think there actually is a DC for it. It is a sticky bomb grenade. So it's got a 10-foot radius.
Yep.
And it's 2d4 rounds of entanglement.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a save for that.
Yeah, I think the DC is to save from being entangled.
Ah.
But it doesn't say that in the book. There's no DCs for the grenades.
Well, I don't. But it's also like you are entangled, but the DC is for you to break out of the entanglement on your turn.
Right, right.
Because like if you're entangled, you can still take a move action to get yourself out of it.
Yeah, I mean they're in the area in which the bomb goes off, so I'm assuming that they become entangled pretty quickly.
I just don't know grenades well enough.
Well, to your point, like you throw the grenade, when the grenade goes off, they are entangled.
The DC is for me to get out.
Right.
But even like a regular explosive grenade, what's the reflex save? Isn't there a DC for reflex save? Where does it say that?
Probably, yeah. I'm not sure.
I don't see where they say. Anyways,
I think it depends on the level of the grenade.
Yeah, the Mark 1, 2, or 3. You take a look and let me know. But good idea.
I don't want to look this up, man. This Move is like the most complicated part of the game.
Okay. Well, question. You want to do anything else with your turn? Like, say, alley-oop?
That
or lob,
Kobe.
Right, that's Kobe.
He's gonna say grenade.
You miss the opportunity to say boom.
He's gonna actually, as soon as he throws it, he's like, I learned that from boom. And he says that to Kara.
Yeah. Okay,
boom,
love it.
Boom gives you a good wink. Nice.
Migo, it's your turn. You are behind boom.
Wait, do I roll the 2d4?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Roll your 2d4. Okay. Yes.
I roll one.
Tell me what your damage is now.
That one is 2. Oh gosh, I'm doing this with my book by hand. And a 3 for a total of 5.
5 damage.
Yeah.
As you hear this, as they are now entangled. Love it.
Sweet.
Amazing. Smart thinking, trying to trap him down, move up, move in quickly, quietly. Migo, well, not quietly. What are you doing?
Smart. So Migo is going to shuffle past. He is a bit of a, like, sorry. I have my ruler set up, not my actual move character thing.
Yeah.
He's going to move up along this bookcase here and take his shot at the newly entangled bogey dude.
Okay. Question. I think you... Yeah. Let me look at the entangled condition.
They get a -2 to AC.
Okay. So they are entangled. You need to roll, if you want, a perception check, because it's tough to see them, especially as you're walking up, you're at an angle. Okay. But also, when you try and look up there, it's hard for your eyes to focus on what's going on.
Plus, the attackers...
You want perception?
Yeah, perception check.
That is a 9.
Okay. Yeah. You land, you're like, it's cool, I'll just stop and take a look. You can't quite tell where they are. It's frustrating. So you're gonna have a 50% mischance. Because they technically have total concealment, and you're firing into a square where you pretty much know that you are.
Are they in a defilade?
I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. Not sure what that is. But no. Good question, though. Migo, what's your shot?
So let's roll to attack first.
Okay. See if you even get in the area.
That is 10 on the die plus 5, 15 to hit.
Against EAC or KAC?
Against EAC.
That's a hit. Nice. If you actually hit him, give me your D100.
Okay. It's rolling my tiny metal dice because they feel nice in my hands.
Yeah, they do.
93.
93. You needed above a 50 in order to hit, so you
crushed
hit.
Crushed it.
What's your damage on that hit?
Damage. 1d10 sound damage?
Sonic?
Letter? Sonic.
Sonic?
Sonic.
Sonic, the damage?
1d10 sonic for 7 sonic damage.
7 sonic damage.
With the pulse staccato rifle. I feel like he just like does a forward roll.
Uh-huh.
And like is crouched a little bit, leaned against the bookcase, and just like... It just hit him center of mass.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think I got him.
Very good.
Okay. Good turn, all of you. These are boom, boom, boom. One by one, making good turns. Boom. You going to continue this trend? Good turn?
Yeah, boom is going to do something, and Kelly's not aware. I'm pretty sure he could do it. So,
what? What does that mean?
We'll just take it from, we'll just take it step by step. So basically, boom, like, you know, like, has, like, his bandolier, and he, like, pulls out another grenade, and he's like, And then he, like, does an alley-oop himself up to that platform.
I'm an alley-oop.
Huh? Okay, so well, you alley-oop up to which corner?
he wants to throw the grenade up to, I don't know. I guess, like, the corner, like, exactly past where him. You're pointing right now. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
all right. Right there. So that's 3 range increments beyond. So it's going to be
so he's gonna
AC
move,
9.
I guess. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So he can move and then do it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So to make it a little bit better, I guess he'll be like right here.
He'll run up next to Migo.
Watch these. And he like tosses it up. And then like as he does this, like the ball just starts to roll with this electrical energy. Mm-hmm. And then it explodes open and a lightning elemental comes out.
What?
Because this is a summoning grenade.
This nice. Is a summoning
Yo.
Grenade. Rad.
Yeah.
All right.
And if he can, he would like to. Now, these like summoned creatures like treat them like I'm their god, basically, so I can tell them what to do. So Boom will do that. He'd be like, give him big strike. And then like I don't know if I could do this in the same term, so I'm looking this up right now. But a lightning
elemental
will.
When you summon, they can act in the same turn.
Yeah, I think
all right,
so.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there's no summoning sickness mechanic.
Sweet. So yeah. That will do a lightning strike.
Okay.
And a lightning elemental slam. So he'll slam his own sort of lightning boom, and it will deal half
it's
electricity
melee.
Damage. And half bludgeoning damage.
You gotta give me a 1 second, real quick.
I'm going to. I'm looking it up right now myself.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, so you throw this summon grenade. I am looking for. That's what I was looking for right there. Oh wait, no wait.
Let's see.
Yeah,
lightning strikes. For some reason, I can't find that attack. But even though it's listed, so
okay.
Do lightning strike.
Is it a level 1 lightning? What level?
I can do up to level 3, I believe. So I did level 3 in this case. If I'm
that's
not
pretty rad.
Sure. Yeah. So
really, level 3.
Yeah. Well. I think so, because of the level I'm at, I can get up to level 3, I thought was wait for the summoning grenade.
I think you need a... Let's see. As if you had cast a summon creature spell of a spell level and caster level according to the grenade's type. So do you have a Mark 3, a Mark 1, or a Mark 2? Or a Mark 4, or 5, or 6? Holy shit.
Mark 3. So,
you have a Mark 3? Yeah. So, yeah, okay, yep. That's usually cool. What it is. Okay, cool. Nice. So I gave you ownership of that lightning elemental that's up there. So you are able to move it and do what you need to do on it. So it's gonna attack. You throw this sweet summoning grenade.
I would love to attack it, except like every time I look up like lightning, it just says a slam deals half electricity damage and half bludgeoning damage. Is that enough to go off of? I guess.
I mean, but do
like,
you have a roll to hit and... damage
yeah,
it's a
guess.
Melee attack I think
Yeah, right, slam right, cool. is a melee attack.
I didn't know if there was anything cool else cool okay. that I could yep. do. All right, cool. So he's going to do that. He's like, give him.
Good crush.
And then like...
yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a 9 to hit though.
kinda unsteady, just slams forward right next to it. Totally misses it. But good try. There is now an lightning elemental next to this creature. Amazing.
He just out of the corner. Bzz, bzz, bzz. Ready to go.
Yeah.
Love sort of it. Like Electrovore, kind of.
Yeah. In your own nano way. Okay, cool. Good turn. You got another combatant on the field. I like it. You want to do anything else?
Nah.
Okay. Love it. Top round two. Kara of Altar, we're back to you. The ever professional. What are you doing?
She is going to use a special ability of taking deadly aim for -2 on the attack.
Okay.
Do they still have concealment even from where
you're
going
to have to roll another perception, yeah. Roll a perception check, yep.
I got a 18.
18. There's just a moment where everything syncs up and you're able to see exactly where they are. So it's only 20% concealment just from where you're at. Good right. turn. You're able to focus in and find them.
All right, so I'm going to try and take deadly aim again.
Okay, love it.
It's a 22.
Woo! Yeah, that hits. Again. Constant. Doesn't miss. One hit Kara, man. What you going to do?
10 points of damage.
Ooh!
Wow.
Plus, oh, sorry, because I took deadly aim.
Uh-huh. What's the...
It's not... It's not 10, it's 13.
13 points of damage. Extra damage that hits them closer, I feel like, to the neck.
Actually, no. Sorry, 12. It's 12. Half my base attack, and yeah. I would round down, right?
Okay. Yep. Round down. Okay. Base still staying in the same spot, are able to hold your breath, focus in. Everything lines up. Take the shot. Love it. Clean. Professional. You do anything else with your turn? You just stand there.
I think the deadly aim is a move.
It's a move? No. Oh, to put it on the shot or not?
Oh, I guess I could do a full attack if I wanted.
But yeah. Okay.
Would I roll again? No.
Yeah, you would have had a -4 to your earlier attack, and then you would have to do that. And take deadly That's aim fine. Is not... Okay. All right. So, good turn. Boom. Two shots. Clean, efficient. Love it. Incredible.
You quote.
Okay. It is this Shabbat's turn, who you all are down below taking shots at. Love it. Who do they shoot at? Two of you have thrown grenades. Two of you have shot. Yeah, Kev.
I'm still trying to follow up on whether or not you get a save against the original entanglement, but it does under the entangle section say you have to use a move action. Creature can attempt a move, can attempt such a check as a move action. The check is either an acrobatics, which is going to be. DC 11 or mm-hmm. strength check for DC 16. Okay.
To get unentangled. Mm-hmm. Okay. Copy.
But it is a move action.
Copy.
Otherwise, you stay entangled.
Poppy. You know what they're going to do?
Stay entangled.
They're nested up. Yeah. Guys, I'm done. I'm so sorry that I did this.
Actually, I sent Lightning Boy up to negotiate your surrender. He's very, very good.
What does Lightning Boy sound like?
He's just like... like Adam, like communicating that way.
He's like, I don't speak your language. I don't know what to say.
No. He's like very persuasive, yes.
Love it. Kara, the weapon stays trained on you. And there's just a voice that calls out.
The future for you all is grim. Unless you accept
your fate.
He's gonna fire again at you, Kara. Even with a minus two, that is a 28.
That is it.
Yeah. 13 points of fire damage as another shot again rings closer. Again, where you hit, they hit you in the same location.
All right. As a reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Can you take two reactions or no?
No, you have one.
Okay.
Yeah, one reaction per
round. One per turn.
Per round.
Yeah, per round.
What's your reaction? 27 points of damage so far to you.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's she's rough. Like a tank.
Yeah, of course.
Sort
she is.
Of.
But
I'm taking HP damage.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're into if your I HP now. React.
Oh. If I do react, do I take HP? So if I take
what are the abilities that you're four? Choosing between?
No. Okay. So I can take a defense. I can do defensive dispersal.
Okay.
Or I can form an extra cloud without it going against my max nanite cloud array. Because I have like the reactive spray.
Okay.
Or
and what does that do?
Laugh at danger. And if I take HP damage from a significant foe, but not down to zero HP, I grant all my allies a plus two to their AC until next turn.
Ooh,
impressive!
Kevin.
I could definitely.
I'm going to do that. And she's going to be like, "Let's take this guy down."
Laughing in danger. Okay, so you're at HP damage.
Think you could take us?
I'm still following up on the screen, and I think you should have gotten a save against the initial explosion.
Okay, well, now we know.
Yep.
Okay. It's fine. Cool. Kara, badass, laughing in danger. No. I mean, like, this is a grenade-heavy crew. You're probably going to throw grenades points. Again, so now we know.
Boom does, yeah, like, a sly, light smile. He knows Kara, so it's good to see. It's good to see her, like, degaffing coming out as he sees now and again.
The closer that she gets to death. What is your HP at, Kara?
I don't want to say, but it's 23.
It's 23?
You could always retreat.
Could always retreat.
Or use...
No, she's in it.
Or tactically maneuver, but apparently no one else thinks that that's good, so... But yeah, like, you could do that, because that... Yeah,
okay, wait, but like, in this situation... She's not just going to run away. She's going to fall
no
back.
No one's running away. No one's running away. Everyone's
Thaddeus
just repositioning.
Just run away. As soon as combat
this
started,
is misrepresenting.
She has an auto CPR unit.
That's true.
She does.
This isn't true.
She has an auto CPR unit.
Well, that was their turn. Cecil, it's your turn. You running away?
Heck no. Cecil is going to move up. Okay. I'm a little curious on the way this... I don't... Well, he probably has reach anyways, but he's going to step up. He's going to go up the stairs.
Okay. And he's going to go up the stairs.
Because they're upstairs as well, so, like, I can't... I want to be 10 feet away from him, but I can't because of the way the map is set up, right?
Okay.
I'm asking. So, like...
Yeah, they are taking up most of that front area, so as soon as you step up, you're within 5 feet of them.
And I can't be one step down in order to get... 10 feet away from them with my bike.
You could be 10 feet away. I just think you would still get that concealment.
Okay. Anyways, I'll step up all to the stairs and be within the 5 feet and get a clear shot at him. That's going to grant flanking to the electro.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'll be nice. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll call him Buzz, I guess.
Yeah, so as he Cecil moves up, his arm or the gun kind of melts back into his arm, and then he pulls the pike off his back.
Okay,
and
give me a perception check.
What?
That's not what I'm up here. Where are you? Hold on. Oh, that's not good. 10?
Yeah, okay. There is still going to be concealment, as it's tough to see exactly where their body is.
What? Is this some kind of special ability?
Do you want to give me just a quick intelligence check?
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
I don't know if I have intelligence, though.
I think I'm doing it right. I'm sure somebody's going to call me and be like, you're not doing it right. This is dumb.
I have a zero for intelligence. I'm not a very smart dude.
Just give me a roll real quick.
14.
14. That's enough to know that you recognize this as a cloaking field. So it allows them to use stealth to hide as a move action, which they use at the end of their turn. That you can hide even when being directly observed and no place to hide.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm going to attack with my pike, okay. Even though he has... It's only a 20% concealment, right?
It's a 50, because I think technically 50%. When you're sitting... See, you're right in front of it, so I think it's a 20, because there's still some sense of concealment there. That feels more appropriate to me. When you guys were down there, it's probably 50.
Ooh, that's a 19 on the die. That's a plus 4 to hit.
Oh, against... So oh, I thought you were saying it's a 19, like a D100. Yeah, that is definitely a hit. Give me a D100 roll.
Okay, hold on. I'm...
Roll less than 20. Roll less than 20.
It's a 50. 50-something. So
50.
I'm not,
yeah, you're good. You're fine.
Yeah.
Come up, stab with your pike. You alley-oop over the corner and stab with the pike.
Okay.
So like Olympic style. I love that.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Why not? Don't alley... Please stop using alley-oop and correct.
I think I'm using it as it's intended.
Google alley-oop for me. 8 on the die.
I just want to make I'm about to spam our Discord with alley-oop videos and GIFs and TikToks just to drive the point home.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh, for sure.
8 on the die for a total of 15 points of non-lethal damage.
15 points of non-lethal damage. Okay, love it. Amazing. Okay, love it. You stab in and you see this like brief sense of their body like slumps over. And then their body,
the final whatever,
reactivates. Phase two of the combat as they have their Shabbat ferocity. And they don't go down. And you know what? That's our game. What's going to happen? Is Kara... Am I going to crit and Kara goes down in this next turn?
Nope. No, you're not. Oh, I got plans for you.